Welcome to Indy. Thanks for having me back to Indy. Love being here. There's people complaining about the cold already. It's good to be back here. Actually, it's a great time of year to be here. It's also nice. I actually walked this the first time in I don't know how many years I can walk down the streets in Indy and not be cursed at by Colts fans. So obviously I'm making progress in life here. So I just really want to open up to questions. I don't have anything earth-shattering from Chiefs Kingdom to talk about. So I'll just open it up. Adam, I know you've got something. I'm not even going to let anyone start this off. I'm going to go to you. We've had conversations with most all of our players that are free agents, including the and some restricted free agents too. I don't know if you saw yesterday we got Colby and Matt Gutierrez done, and we've had conversations with all of them. But as you know, Adam, I mean we're talking to most every one of our free agent players and trying to keep some guys in the fold. That's a big part of free agency as well. It's not only going out and signing other players; it's trying to hold on to the ones that you want to keep here as well. We've had conversations with a lot of our free agent players, Adam. I don't get into the specifics of who we talk to, what we talk about. Those are private conversations. It's a great way to start it, buddy. They'll have a lot. All of our coaches have input on the draft processes. Our coaches, our college director, our pro director, our coaches all have it, including the coordinators. And something I've talked about a bit here recently, we had a very good coaching staff last year. I think the dynamics have changed a little bit this year where we're now dealing with a couple of new coaches that come from a system that we've all worked in, and they're looking for very similar players that instead of the whole system adjusting to some of the players we were looking for, we're looking for the same type of players. And they'll be very involved in the whole process. Well, we had talked to Romeo a little bit last year, and his personal situation had forced him where he wanted to stay out of coaching. We talked about it. We entertained it. This year came back around. We wanted to – any opportunity we have to improve our football team, whether it be with the players or coaches or the scouting staff, and any way we can improve our team, we're going to do that. Romeo was available. Romeo wanted to be with us. We wanted him, and it was sounds like a good marriage. Yeah, it's a pretty strong tight end group. It's a pretty strong draft overall, I feel. It's a good group of players, and the tight end position, and there's a number of players that we'll be talking to out here and that we've done a lot of work on. And tight end is definitely one of the many positions we need to get better at this year and improve the talent, the front line talent and the depth. I'm sorry? I haven't really thought about it in that context. I mean, we put a lot of emphasis on the draft every year because I think it's the most important way and one of the most efficient ways to build your football team. And you want to use every vehicle available to try to build your football team through free agency, unrestricted free agency, restricted free agency, the waiver wire, the draft. But the core of your team and the youth of your team is going to be through the draft. So that really doesn't make any different from any other year. I'm sorry. I can't say we'll be active or we're going to be. We were active last year, and again, what happens? I think sometimes, Adam, is you try to be active, and you don't always get deals done. And we're going to try to improve our team and supplement the team with free agents this year, as we did last year. So we will be involved in free agency, absolutely. It seems to shift from year to year because there's this cat and mouse game that goes on, I think, between between what we're trying to do and what the players are trying to do in terms of their preparation and the agents preparing them. The interviews used to be a very important part of this process. They're not as important because a lot of these players, their agents, and the players have spent a lot of money and a lot of time preparing for every question under the sun, every circumstance, and every stress level imaginable. So there's it's I don't think there's any one thing. I think one of the most important things probably now is the fact that you can get everyone in one place and take a look at them physically and see what their health is like and have the doctors look at them and do thorough physicals and have all the doctors see them in one place. All the other things have a degree of importance, but again, as this thing has changed, the players and the agents have taught themselves that they need to prepare for this event more specifically. I don't know. It depends on the individual. There's been a number of interviews where you get the authentic individual and you get the real person, and there's other ones that are scripted, and that becomes part of the process that you have to filter through and sift through as much of that as you can. It's made other times of the year and during the season a little bit more important in terms of trying to get to know players and who they are, because it's. And when I think you're not getting the real, I don't think they're trying to be duplicitous in an intentional way with any malice. They're trying to look good. That's their job. Everyone wants to look good in a job interview.
Scott, how much does your background with Romeo and Charlie kind of help you when you're looking at college kids and knowing what they want in players and just having all that, you know, those years that you spent together?
Yeah, I think it doesn't just help me. It helps Todd, too, because the two of us, we've spent years together, and I think that there's times where if you spend a large amount of time with someone, there's some things that can be spoken and unspoken, and you know implicitly that there's certain things that you're looking for without having to go through certain processes. I think it just, what it does is, as much as anything, is it reduces the amount of time that you need to spend on certain things. And the good thing is the four of us and Mo and a couple of the other coaches have been through some good fights before. So we know... You know, we know there's not going to be that time where people try to establish some sort of position in arguing for a player or arguing against a player where it's not just for me, it's for Todd too, because Todd's spent a lot of time with these guys. We'll be able to get through a lot of things a lot quicker. Oh, yeah. Yeah, which is critical. It's critical because too often, this is a time where you can't be shy about your opinion, because when we make decisions, they're going to be critical decisions, and it'll be a lot different. Easier may not be the right word, but it'll be more efficient.
Scott, more teams playing 3-4 defenses and trying to retain their most valuable tackles.
Even before there was many, it's just a tough position to find a player. Period, and not everyone wants to play that position. It's a very, very difficult position, and it takes a different type of person, and I mean that in a good way. The one difference, I think, is that there's different types of 3-4. Everyone just talks about the 3-4 and the use of a nose, and it depends on how you play your 3-4 has an impact of what type of nose you're looking for. So it's an incredibly valuable position. I'm sorry, I just heard expectation.
What's the expectation?
It's the same expectation we have for every player. We expect every player every year to get better and to perform better, to play smarter, and to improve. That expectation for Matt Castle is the same expectation we have for every other player that's on our roster. And I'll say this. I need to do my job better. The coaches need to do their jobs better. All of us should have expectations this year that are a little bit more ahead of where they were last year.
Will offensive line be a priority for this draft?
I don't know if it's a priority, but it's certainly something we need to get better at. There's no doubt. I mean, everyone saw us play. When you win four games, it's offensive line, and there's some other positions. We've got some good players on the offensive line, and we need to get more good players on the offensive line, just like we need to get more good players on the defensive line at linebacker. Again, it's... Unfortunately, we're in a situation. This is an easy question to answer because, unfortunately, when you win four games, you've got to do a lot of things better. Like I said, I've got to do a better job, the coaches have to do a better job, and the players have to do a better job.
This is a deep draft for offensive linemen.
Yeah, so far, and I'm not even through all of them because I think that there's some really good players that are ready to play, and I also think that there's some good developmental prospects too. So it's a good group of players.
Scouters, what are the toughest positions for you to evaluate?
I'm sorry? I think some of the offensive skilled position. I'll say this. I think offensive players in general are becoming more difficult to evaluate than what I remember a couple of years ago. And a lot of it it's a byproduct of the type of offenses that are being run in college. And they're asking quarterbacks to do different things than what or run a different style of offense, which means the running backs are running differently. The offensive line is different. The splits are different. There's a lot of things that are very different. And while you're watching tape, running backs, for instance, you see running backs in positions and alignments that you don't normally, that we're not going to have them in. You see splits and a type of running game that's very different from what we're doing in the NFL, and they're not having to press the hole as much. They're having the whole thing looks very different. So it's changing. But, you know, we'll figure out how to do that over time as well. I mean, it's projection. Projection is probably a good word. Just trying to say, okay, how is that player going to fit once he's in this style of offense or defense? Well, I think it's a couple of things. Those two guys are players that are top-end players. So I don't know if there's that many, a large volume of them. I think that there's talented players and good coaches and that are getting players ready. And I think this has become a league where you need to get players ready in a hurry, and they're going to have to play early. And Joe Thomas and Jake Long, those are two great examples of players that came in and played at a high level early. I think that's more of a credit to them. There's been a number of other players that come in and play because, you know, somebody's got to play. And it doesn't always mean that they're good players. It just means someone's got to line up and play. No, it's all right. I haven't spent a lot of time evaluating the 07, 08, 09 drafts or the last 2 years I was there. Whether you have a successful draft or an unsuccessful draft and how you determine you're going to measure that draft and what's successful and what's not successful, because sometimes it's not just the players picked, it's players that you traded for. There's a lot of different variables that go into it. It's where you pick players, what round you pick players. And regardless of whether you have successful drafts or unsuccessful drafts, you can learn from them. I think some of the best learning I did was some of the drafts that ended up being successful. So I don't think you can look at just the good ones and the bad ones. That's the way it's going to be. You know, that's the way this business is. That's the way drafts are. That's the way coaching is. That's the way life is. Some things you do well, some things you don't do well. And there's times you perform well, sometimes you don't perform well. The important thing is whether you perform well or not so well is to learn from both of them.
Two more questions.
In your experience,
what's up, Andy? Sorry, familiar face here. Sorry. Right. And I think it has something to do with, again, the type of 3-4 that you're playing. You know, in Dick LeBeau's 3-4, the size, the prototypical size of the outside linebacker that's performing for him and that he's using, and then the size of the outside linebackers in the Bill Belichick, Bill Parcells defense, you know, when they had Carl Banks and the guys that we played with back when I was with New England, they're different. So there's a lot more projections because I think that there's some outside linebackers that are college defensive linemen. You know, you go back and look at what Willie McGinnis was when he came out, and I mean the list goes on and on at different types. So depending on the type of 3-4 that you run, there's different outside linebackers that you're looking for, and again, size wise and skill set wise.
Texas tackle Adam.
Do you see a lot of
Gutowski at Permian City.
I haven't gotten to enough of the strategy part yet to see who's going to move, who's not going to move, who's trying to move. I think right now a lot of that starts to unfold the closer you get to the draft because, again, there's two different pieces of the draft, essentially. There's the evaluation process, and then there's the strategic process. Some of that is to come, I think, as we get closer to the draft. And I don't know this for certain, but it appears to me that there's been fewer trades over the last several years at the top end of the draft. There's still been some trades, but there's been fewer. And whether that's a byproduct of why, you know, how people want to do it, whether it's there's a lot of different reasons that different teams have for wanting to or not wanting to.
With the uncertainty of an uncapped year and say, a rookie pool that could be coming up, do you think that changes strategy this year?
I don't think we know what the rules are going to be. So, again, I'm just the type of person, I don't spend a lot of time or waste a lot of time on things that I don't know what they're going to be. So, to me, that's to speculate. There'd be too much time and energy wasted on speculating what is the system going to be? How is it going to be? You have to go with the way things are now and just hope that you're doing the right thing.
Scott, when you're drawing up the contract, this season, since it looks like it's not going to be attacked, is there a temptation to front load money into this season? Do you operate as if the cap is going to go back?
I'm operating the way I've always operated. I mean, it's the same as it's ever been. All right.
That's it. Scott, in your career, you drafted early and drafted late. You know why you guys played. The dynamics change on how you approach the draft when you're drafted?
Some of them absolutely. Some of the dynamics do, but the bottom line is you want to get good players at the right spot. And again, regardless of where you pick in the draft, you do want to calculate that there's certain positions that you know they're going to go fast. You better pay attention to it. For instance, last year, picking where we were picking, knowing the number of defensive linemen that there were and there were going to be, getting a defensive lineman to me personally was pretty important for our football team. So whether you pick high or pick low, the bottom line is the dynamics change, obviously, and a lot of things change, but you still want to get good players regardless of where you're picking. All right.